You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
In the past, this might have been the stuff of some scary science fiction novel, but no more. Drones are unmanned, remote-controlled, automated aircraft often used for surveillance, but also often carrying weapons. They have become notorious for their use by the United States in Afghanistan and Pakistan. But the United States is not the only country in the world with drone technology, and they are not only used for warfare overseas, but also increasingly domestically. Over 50 countries around the world now possess some sort of unmanned aerial vehicles, and that number is expanding rapidly. Trevor Timm is an activist and blogger for the Electronic Frontier Foundation. He has been following the development and use of drones and recently wrote an article on the subject for Al Jazeera. He joins me by the phone now from San Francisco. Thanks for joining us, Trevor, and welcome to Red Eye.
Well, thanks for having me.
So, for people who don't know, how would you describe drones?
Well, they are unmanned aircraft, like you said, and they can fly for extremely long periods of time, sometimes over 24 hours, and often they're operating in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and they're being flown in Colorado in the U.S. You can pretty much operate them from anywhere, and the problem with these drones is that we don't actually know what's going on with them, especially in the U.S. military, because right now we are operating drones on over 60 bases throughout the world. Yet all of the whole drone program is classified, so the U.S. can operate them with no scrutiny and no congressional oversight, and they're becoming such a main part of our Army and our Air Force that they're actually overtaking controlled flights by pilots. Right now, we fly like one in every three aircraft in the U.S. Air Force is a drone, and it was only 5% just a few years ago. So it's expanding rapidly, and it's under a veil of secrecy. So we really don't know the full extent and what the real consequences are.
What kinds of things are they now being used for?
Well, overseas, they're used for combat missions. So in Pakistan, up until a couple months ago, they were flying. There was a mission once every 4 days where they were launching missiles and killing alleged militants. Pakistan had a real problem with this, obviously, given we're not actually at war with Pakistan and they're our allies. And we ended up accidentally killing about 24 of their soldiers, so drones stopped flying over Pakistan until a couple days ago when they resumed. But there is another aspect to drones, which is surveillance, which will soon start affecting everybody in the U.S. and Canada. And these drones are not only made for military operations, but for spying capabilities. So there are drones that can fly over cities now that can actually see basically the whole city with their camera. And like I said, they can fly for long periods of time, and it can provide police officers and law enforcement agencies the ability to basically surveil public spaces for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So there are obviously a lot of privacy concerns with this. Given that people aren't aware that it's going on, number one, and probably haven't consented to it, number two. And so this is probably going to be an emerging issue in the next couple of years as more and more police officers and law enforcement agencies start accessing these drones and start using them more often.
And are they being used now in cities at all?
Yes, actually in the U.S. they just started using them in the last 6 months. The FAA is in the process of authorizing police forces and even private citizens to use drones. Right now, if you can fly a drone under 400 feet without FAA approval, but now they're starting to approve them for everybody. The EFF just sued the FAA and the Department of Transportation to get more information on this. The problem with this, again, is secrecy. Even though we're in the U.S. right now and it's not military-based, the government isn't releasing information on who these people are that are trying to fly these drones, what they're being used for, all this. There was just a situation in Los Angeles a couple weeks ago where the police used a drone that was used that was owned by the Department of Homeland Security to track down a few suspects on a huge cattle farm. In Houston, there's been drones spotted flying over Houston. And now there's a myriad of problems with these drones. They can use GPS technology. They can sniff out Wi-Fi networks. They can spy on. They could break into your cell phone and essentially listen to your phone calls. These are all real dangers now, and hopefully, people will start taking notice and something can be done.
And the military drones are often, they often carry weapons as well. Are like these emerging sort of civilian drones, do they have that capability as well?
Yeah, obviously we're not going to have to worry about missiles as people do in Pakistan or in the Gaza Strip. But the contractors that make these drones freely admit that they are equipped to carry weapons such as tasers or beanbag guns. No police officer or law enforcement agency has installed these weapons yet, but everybody is well aware that it's possible. And given how prevalent they're going to be used, it's inevitable that somebody will install these devices, and hopefully it'll be put to a stop before it comes to that.
One of the interesting things about them is that they sort of, they're being developed in different sizes. Can you talk about sort of the different aspects of the sizes of these things?
Yeah, so this is really when it seems like it's coming out of a science fiction movie. Researchers all over the U.S. are working on all sorts of drones. So there's huge drones that are, the size of giant airplanes that can fly over cities and capture a video of the entire city. But then there's also much, much smaller drones, drones that are the size of birds, that actually even look like mechanical birds. There's been a couple of them that have crashed in Pakistan, and people have been taking pictures of them. But that's, they're going to get smaller than that. Right now they're working on drones that are literally the size of insects. And there are also drones being tested in Georgia right now, which require no human control at all. So once basically you turn on the drone, there's not even a pilot flying on the ground. It's just going on a mission that it's been pre-programmed to do. And it will somehow accomplish that mission and then come back to base. But then, the real problem with this is all the security concerns, because there have been multiple reports of not only viruses that get into these drones, but also people and governments openly hacking them. There was a situation 3 years ago that was wildly underreported, but the Wall Street Journal had a report saying that militants in Iraq had bought $26 off-the-shelf software and were able to hack into the video feeds of the drones flying over Iraq. So what happened was they could see everything that was going on in real time. They could see the same video feed that the U.S. military could. And just 6 months ago, there was another situation in with part of the Air Force's drone fleet, where they found a virus that was logging all of the keystrokes in these drones, and they couldn't figure out how the virus got there, and they couldn't figure out how to delete it. They kept deleting it, and it kept coming back. And, they ultimately determined it was benign, but that just leads to the question, what happens when the next virus, can change keystrokes? It's a real worry because you would think, that's kind of out of science fiction. But just a month ago, there was another situation in Iran where the U.S. was flying one of its most sensitive drones in Iranian airspace. And they didn't have to shoot it down. They took it down with their cyber warfare team, basically jamming the controls and guiding it down to the ground. And when this first happened, Iran claimed that they had done this, and the U.S. denied it. And a lot of cybersecurity experts didn't really believe them. But it seems now that they might have been at least telling the partial truth. There's pictures of the drone that have been that are in Iran that have shown it basically not damaged, and it looks like they were able to semi-hack into the drone. So these problems will not be going away, and it will pose a danger for U.S. forces, but it'll also pose a danger for citizens of the U.S. or Canada when a lot of these drones are flying over our cities and towns, and, you know, they don't have the same security that military drones have.
And another issue that you bring up in the article is the question of, like, an arms race around drones. It's not just the United States that's developing these things, but they're being developed all over the world, and there's now quite a large market for them. Can you give us some insight into that?
Yeah, so in the next 10 years, they expect the drone market worldwide to reach $94 billion per year. And you're right, it's a full-out arms race right now. You know, in the news, we always hear about U.S. drones because they're the ones that are actively flying combat missions. But there are drones right now flying over the Gaza Strip run by Israel that are flying combat missions. And we are becoming, we meaning the U.S., are becoming the leading export of drones worldwide. We just sold Predator drones to Turkey, who will probably use them in combat. Chinese contractors just last year unveiled 25 new types of drones, and it kind of caught the U.S. off guard. But it's clear that it's becoming a huge market. And I believe you said in the opening, in all, at least 50 countries now have unmanned aerial vehicles, and that number is rising every month. So that number is a couple months old. So it's probably even more now. Iran has their own drones. Even the Libyan rebels, before they took over their country from Gaddafi, they had their own surveillance drone that was provided to them by Canadian defense contractors. So it's becoming a situation where it's not just a monopoly by the U.S. There are going to be many, many countries who are running drones, and obviously many of them will be used for surveillance, but, you know, there is so much potential for abuse, given that they can carry weapons and would be so easy to operate.
Just to wrap up, what do you think people should do to try and get a handle on something like this in their own regions?
That's a great question. I think the first step is awareness that this is going on. This has kind of been happening under the radar. Like I said, the reason this has become so prevalent in the U.S. military is because the whole program is classified. And so while it might be on the front page of the paper, government officials aren't commenting on it, and Congress isn't giving oversight on it. So it was able to expand really rapidly. I would suggest once people become more aware, they have to bring this up with their local representatives and their local police departments. They have to find out, are these police departments using these drones? How often are they using them? What are they using them for? That's part of what we're trying to do here at the EFF with our lawsuit against the Department of Transportation and the U.S. government, because right now they're authorizing all these drones to fly, yet we don't know why and we don't know who. So the first step is information, and once we have that, it'll be much easier to go to state legislatures or the federal government and ask for some privacy protections against these machines that will essentially be able to spy on our public lives whenever they want.
Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Trevor Timm. He is an activist and blogger for the Electronic Frontier Foundation. You can read the article he recently wrote on drones on the website aljazeera.com.